Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide in the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers. It's a great day to be a Wisconsinite. It is Thursday, April 18th, 2024, now 6 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. Welcome in on a bit of an overcast Thursday here at the World Headquarters, high atop State Street to block off the Capitol Square. A little rain. And a welcome spring rain, I guess you might say. But by the weekend, Mr. Zommers, looks like it's going to be sunny and seasonal. Highs in the upper 50s, low 60s. So looks like a fairly nice weekend.
Seems about right, yeah.
Yeah, so that looking forward to that. Coming up a little bit later on the show, looking forward to this. It's been a couple of months since we've spoken to him. 1:30 on the show in the second hour, our old friend John Roach, columnist, author. I call him a Renaissance man because he could do it all. He's the kind of guy who has either been there, done that, talked to a person, and timely indeed, as Mike Lucas might say. John Roach has a story, apparently. He had interaction with O.J. Simpson and at the time, Bruce Jenner, now Caitlyn Jenner as well. So he's going to be in hour number two, tell us that story after the passing this past week of O.J. Simpson. And perhaps more importantly, what's happening up north on the lake as spring approaches. And we're going to get John Roach's take on what makes Wisconsin great to him. Of course, last week we did that statewide tour all around the state asking people what makes Wisconsin great. We will ask John Roach the same question coming up in hour two as well. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, so. I think a lot of his answers, I look forward to hearing more from him about that, because I know we've heard a lot about, you know, the Badgers and just Wisconsin weather and that you can go up north, and all of it combines into a very special, unique package.
He's one of those people that after you spend some time with him, John Roach just makes you feel better.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to that. Want to start out, though, today. And I know our friend Jane Matt Nair on air, kind of broke this about a half hour, 45 minutes ago, and reported what Julie Turskin on NBC News is talking about. Wisconsin making national news again, not in a good way, out in the House of Representatives this morning in Washington, D.C. Here's what's going on. Overnight, or last night, and we're going to play this for you in a little bit here, by the way, I'll dial up against Mr. Zommers. We have a cut of House Speaker Mike Johnson, who I've been pretty hard on, by the way. But last night, he decided that he's going to allow a vote on Ukraine, on the funding for Ukraine, as well as, I just sent it to Mr. Zommers, as well as the vote for aid to Israel and to Taiwan. Now, much of the Freedom Caucus, the right-wing nut jobs out in Congress, want that separated out and want only aid to Israel passed and to wait on aid to Ukraine. And the thought is, by some, including me, that essentially what some of these Republican, mega Republicans are nothing more than propaganda stand-up pieces for Vladimir Putin. They're not interested in helping Ukraine, some of these Republicans, these mega Republicans, the so-called Freedom Caucus. Let's play you what Speaker Johnson said last night, and then we're going to tell you what our very own Derek Van Orten. Do nothing, Derek Van Orten. Well, apparently he's doing something. Probably not the right thing, in my opinion, but he's doing something. Derek Van Orten from Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin, in southwest Wisconsin, on the western side of the state. Going to tell you what he's up to, but first, here was Speaker Mike Johnson last night on this foreign aid vote.
Listen, My philosophy is you do the right thing and you let the chips fall where they may. If I operated out of fear over a motion to vacate, I would never be able to do my job. Look, history judges us for what we do. This is a critical time right now, a critical time on the world stage. I could make a selfish decision and do something that that's different. But I'm doing here what I believe to be the right thing. I think providing lethal aid to Ukraine right now is critically important. I really do. I really do believe the intel and the briefings that we've gotten that I believe Xi and Vladimir Putin and Iran really are an axis of evil. I think they're in coordination on this. I think that Vladimir Putin would continue to march through Europe if he were allowed. I think he might go to the Balkans next. I think he might have a showdown with Poland or one of our NATO allies. To put it bluntly, I would rather send bullets to Ukraine than American boys. My son is going to begin in the Naval Academy this fall. This is a live fire exercise for me, as it is so many American families. This is not a game. It's not a joke. We can't play politics with this. We have to do the right thing. And I'm going to allow an opportunity for every single member of the House to vote their conscience and their will on this. And I think that's the way this institution is supposed to work. And I'm willing to take personal risk for that because we have to do the right thing, and history will judge us.
Now, like I've said, I've not been a huge fan of Mike Johnson, of the speaker. But I'll give him credit for what he said last night. I mean, there's really nothing other than he used the phrase boys being sent to Ukraine. It would be men and women. But other than that, the sentiment of what he said and the facts about what Putin's intentions are, I agree with him. And I give him credit for standing up in front of a microphone in front of the press and saying what he said, what we just heard. I hope that what he's doing behind the scenes actually backs that up. Because I've been around long enough to know in politics, you can say, well, I'm going to allow a vote on this. And then you also basically, with a wink and a nod, have members of your caucus offering, you can call them amendments, you can call them riders, you can call them poison pills, basically something you put in this bill that makes it so obnoxious that you're not going to get enough votes to actually pass it. All right. But I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt for right now until I see otherwise. Maybe Speaker Johnson had a change of heart. Maybe it was the fact that he's been spending more and more time with the leadership of Congress, including Democrats, including Hakeem Jeffries, including others, and of course, including President Biden. There was a report, 2-3 weeks ago before they took this break? They had a meeting at the White House with Mitch McConnell, Republican leader in the Senate, was also there. And he joined in with the Democratic majority leader, Chuck Schumer, and the president, and Hakeem Jeffries. So it was a bipartisan kind of group here saying, look, Speaker, what's wrong? You got to come on board on this Ukraine aid. And of course, he went down to Mar-a-Lago and met with Trump. But now, for whatever reason, and I quite frankly don't care what the reason is, he seems, at least publicly, Speaker Johnson, to have a change of heart and is going to allow this. What's happening is he may very well be putting up his own speakership, because the MAGA conservatives, the MAGA Republicans in his own caucus, are threatening to push this motion to vacate. MTV, they call it. And no, not the MTV you watched on TV. Motion to vacate. Started by Marjorie Taylor Greene saying that if Johnson does this and he uses Democratic votes to get this passed, that he's no better than former Speaker Kevin McCarthy. Thomas Massie of Kentucky yesterday joined Marjorie Taylor Greene in saying that he would vote for a motion to vacate if Johnson puts the Ukraine bill up to the vote on the floor. That's important because starting Friday, when Wisconsin Republican Congressman from Green Bay, Mike Gallagher, has said he will resign his position, assuming that he's going to follow through on that, that leaves Republicans, Mike Johnson, with a one-vote majority. So Marjorie Taylor Greene presses her motion to vacate and Massie joins her, then Mike Johnson's gone. and Speaker. So then the question becomes, can Republicans garner enough votes to get a Republican Speaker, or will the Democrats stay together and somehow bring one Republican over from the other side to join them to elect Hakeem Jeffries Speaker? Or the third option is that there is a deal between Mike Johnson and Hakeem Jeffries and at least some Democrats in the Democratic caucus to say, look, this is so important, Mr. Speaker, that if you put this up for a vote, we will assure you, we'll guarantee you enough Democrats will vote for you in a motion to vacate that will assure that you stay Speaker. And so then now he's made a deal with the Democrats, which for MAGA Republicans, that is tantamount to making a deal with the devil. It's very interesting if you're a political junkie. And it got even more interesting a couple of hours ago. Again, according to Julie Turskin from NBC News, she reports this on Twitter, X, Twix, whichever you want to call it. She said, things just got very heated on the House floor. A group of hardliners were trying to pressure Speaker Johnson to only put Israel aid on the floor and hold the aid for Ukraine until the Senate passes H.R. 2. Step away for a second. Remember, H.R. 2 is the MAGA version of an immigration bill that was rejected by both Republicans and Democrats in the Senate. The Senate passed their own bipartisan version, which President Biden says he will sign. But Mike Johnson and Republicans in the House refused to vote on that. They want their own version, H.R. 2, through. Continuing on with this reporting from Julie Turskin from NBC News. Johnson said he would not do it. In other words, would not put only Israel aid on the floor and hold Ukraine aid. And Derek Van Orten called him, quote unquote, tubby, and vowed to bring on the motion to vacate. Turskin reports from NBC News that, by the way, no one in that group, whether it was Gates, Boebert, others, no one from the Freedom Caucus, no one was threatening Johnson with a motion to vacate, apparently, in this reporting in the group. It was only Derek Van Orten who heated things up and started to threaten Mike Johnson with a motion to vacate. So if he's officially on board, that means he joins Marjorie Taylor Greene and Thomas Massey with a motion to vacate. We'll come back, take your calls, and discuss it after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Back after this. It may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 20 now past the hour of 12 noon on this Thursday, April 18th, 2024. Following the news, minute by minute, happening out in Washington, D.C. on the House floor, being reported now by NBC News and now also CNN that Speaker Mike Johnson is being lobbied by his own caucus, his own Republicans, to raise the threshold required to trigger the procedure to oust the Speaker, according to multiple GOP sources, a move that would help ensure the Louisiana Republican can pass foreign aid bills and still keep his job without needing to rely on Democrats to bail him out. According to CNN, the suggestion has set off another round of fury amongst conservative lawmakers who are unhappy with the Speaker over his proposed package of bills to send aid to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, among other priorities. An effort has been brewing for weeks to potentially oust Johnson, led, of course, as we said, by Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene. And the proposal to change the rules now around ousting the Speaker has ignited intense speculation over Johnson's future. And now being reported by NBC News, Derek Van Orten got into the mix. Yes, our very own do-nothing Derek Van Orten of the Wisconsin 3rd Congressional District in Western Wisconsin told Johnson reportedly to only put Israel aid on the floor and to hold Ukraine aid until the Senate passes H.R. 2, which is not going to happen. And when Speaker Johnson said that he would not do it, Van Orden reportedly called him, of all things, tubby, and vowed to bring a motion to vacate. Look, Mike Johnson appears to be a pretty physically fit guy. I would guess at maybe 5'10", 160 pounds. I mean, maybe.
Certainly not tubby.
Not and tubby.
Even if he were tubby, what does that have to do with anything?
Yeah, exactly. It's name called. But I mean, if you're going to offend someone, at least make it relevant, I guess. I don't know.
Right. It's just. It's like
small.
If you have an eighth grader trying to make fun of somebody.
Right.
Like Albert Einstein walked through the door and they're like, oh, you're so stupid. It's like, no, that's just wrong.
It's wrong. Off the text line, someone from WAUK texted in saying, quote, it's refreshing to hear confirmation that a Republican, meaning Johnson, does not look up to Putin. Well, again, Johnson's saying all the right things. We played it for you earlier. Kurt from Madison, listening on WMDX, says, who the hell was that guy? Do you think the Dems got into his head behind the scenes? Well, I don't know if it was other, I'm not sure it was Democrats. I'm not sure if it was, you know, more thoughtful Republicans in his own caucus. My guess is that there's been some kind of a deal cut. Other reporting has said that Democrats, despite having a lot of, you know, differences with Mike Johnson, apparently reporting is that Hakeem Jeffries believes that Johnson will, if he says he's going to do something, will do it. So the reporting is that at least the Democratic leadership in the House, Hakeem Jeffries and others, are willing to help save Johnson's speakership if he follows through on the vote for Ukraine aid. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Gene, listening on WCFW, The Tap up in Eau Claire. Gene, thanks for listening. What say you?
Oh, thank you so much for covering of this issue, because, you know, there's been a lot of talking here and there about, you know, MAGA, how they're, you know, using Russian propaganda on
right.
the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also been some research by the Washington Post that verifies, you know, Putin utilizing these people to break down the United States and, you know, and break the people's respect in other countries for our country. And I've always said from day one when I seen all this garbage going on in our country, dividing people, that they're not going to attack us from the outside with bombs and things, but they are going to attack us from the inside out, and that's what's going on. Van Orden is a tool, too. I called his office early this morning to say we need aid to go to Ukraine. I said, why? You know, and I asked the guy, one of the guys in the office, well, what is his stand? You know, because I'm always calling with my opinion. I want to know what he's thinking.
Right.
And he says, well, he wants it verified what this money is going for. Well, yeah, Van Orden, when have you looked at any kind of statistics or information without just following the megas? It is so alarming that a guy who says he was in the military in the past would do this to our country and hurt our national security. It's unbelievable, but thank you for the reporting. It's like, people wake up. These guys are bad news. They don't support America. Have a good day. Thank you.
Thanks, Jane. Appreciate the call as always. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Tony listening in on WBZH, the Buzz of the North up there in beautiful Hayward, which we spent a little bit of time there earlier this late winter, early spring, saying Van Orden claiming that he was now calling Matt Gaetz tubby, not Mike Johnson. And looking at CNN now, that seems to bear out in further reporting here. It's according to CNN, this group on the House floor a couple of hours ago imploring Speaker Johnson to give them assurances that he would not raise the threshold on the motion to vacate. And the speaker would not commit to that, leaving many of the lawmakers fuming and some even saying this was their red line that could propel the motion to oust him forward. So step away from the reporting for a while just to give you context. So it appears now, this all started, this was how Kevin McCarthy became Speaker, that he was willing to go back to this rule that was changed under former Speaker Pelosi, willing to go back to this rule where all it takes is one person to offer a motion to vacate the chair. In other words, have a vote of no confidence, that's layman's terms, to get a new speaker. It means only one, all you have to do is just tick off one person and they can bring a motion to get rid of you. So this group of hardline megas are asking the speaker now, Johnson, to assure them that he will not change that and make it tougher to get rid of him. And Johnson's not going to comment on it because he probably has a deal with the Democrats. That's my guess. So now that's just making him ornery. And they're saying, if you don't commit to basically making it tough, you know, to if you don't keep this one vote rule to get rid of you, if you make it more difficult for us to get rid of you, we're going to push this motion to get rid of you forward. Here's a quote from Representative Matt Gaetz. He said, quote, "We notified him," meaning the speaker, "that any effort to change the threshold of motion to vacate would likely induce the motion to vacate," said Representative Matt Gaetz. GOP Representative Derek Van Orten entered the 20-minute heated floor conversation as it was ongoing and dared his right-wing colleagues to move the motion to oust Johnson, even calling Gaetz tubby. I'm not sure that Matt Gaetz is tubby either.
No.
I don't know where this, I don't know where this tubbiness from, I'm not sure if Derek Van Orten's been, you know, is he drinking this early in the morning? I just don't know. Come back with more of your phone calls after this. 855-752-4842 is the All Balls Show for a Thursday on Civic Media. Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon on Thursday, April 18th. Glad to have you along. Give us a call. Love to hear from you. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. Download it on your Apple or Android device. Talking about this breaking news out in Washington, D.C., being reported by NBC News and now CNN. What's happening is, and we played the cut for you at the top of the show, Speaker Mike Johnson last night said he's going to move forward on a vote on the House floor as soon as this weekend on aid to Ukraine. And a lot of the mega folks do not like it because, of course, Trump doesn't want that because he's a puppet of Putin, essentially. And so there's turmoil in the House conference, Republican conference. And some of these right-wing Freedom Caucus, so-called Freedom Caucus, mega Republicans surrounded Mike Johnson on the floor about an hour, hour and a half ago and said, look, you have to promise us that you're not going to make it tougher to get rid of you because right now all it takes is one vote to bring up the motion to vacate. Marjorie Taylor Greene has already said she plans to do that. And now she's joined by Thomas Massey of Kentucky. And as of Friday, when Republican from Wisconsin, Mike Gallagher, resigns, as he said he would, if that happens, we're going to assume that he will, that means Republicans only have a one-seat majority, meaning that Mike Johnson can only lose one Republican and still have a job. So if there's two announced already, he's in a bad position politically. Well, anyway, there was this fight on the House floor a little while ago. Not physical, but yelling. And Matt Gaetz, remember he was the one that was going after the former Speaker, Kevin McCarthy. And by the way, over the weekend, not sure if you saw this, Kevin McCarthy did not mince words. The former speaker said Matt Gaetz led this charge to get rid of me because I would not dismiss an ethics complaint about him sleeping with a 17-year-old. He just said it flat out. So Matt Gaetz already has problems with Mike Johnson, or pardon me, with Kevin McCarthy. So now he's back at it, trying to go after Mike Johnson. And according to reporting now from CNN, Gaetz said that, you know, if he didn't keep this one vote rule to get rid of himself, that Gaetz and these other mega Republicans were going to start the motion to vacate. Well, now, and this is where it gets interesting for us people in Wisconsin. Republican Representative Derek Van Orten comes into this meeting on the House floor, entered the 20-minute heated floor conversation as it was going on, says CNN, daring his right-wing colleagues to move on the motion to oust Johnson, and reportedly called Gaetz, quote-unquote, tubby. NBC was saying it was Johnson. Now, CNN and others are saying that the tubby remark was pointed at Gaetz, at Matt Gaetz. Now, further reporting. According to CNN, one Republican lawmaker who participated in the conversation with Johnson, who was granted the anonymity to speak freely, said Derek Van Orden started, quote, threatening everyone to go ahead with a motion to vacate, unquote. The GOP lawmaker described Johnson as, quote, very frustrated. Green, Marjorie Taylor Greene, warned the speaker against trying to change the threshold and refused to rule out moving to remove him on Thursday. So she's saying it could come as early as today. I continue to go back to the words of Nikki Haley, Mr. Sommers, because this describes it perfectly. Of course,
it is total chaos.
There you go. There you go. It's total chaos. Or as a former classmate of mine likes to call it, chaos. It's chaos. And again, Derek Van Orten, who's not in leadership, by the way, not even close to it, just inserting himself with anger. Basically daring Matt Gaetz, saying, come on, go ahead and do it.
But you won't.
Yeah. And probably throwing in a lot of four-letter words. Which is unusual for Derek Van Orten to be yelling at adults. Normally, his style is to go after teenagers. Like the one at the library in Prairie du Chien, which he has not disputed. And the teenage pages out in the Senate, which he has not disputed either. Dropping F-bombs and the S-word and all these words we can't say on radio.
Well, he can't dispute it. It's on video.
Well, in some cases, yes. Anyway, we'll continue. It's here's the thing. We need to pass the Ukrainian aid bill. Mike Johnson was right. That clip we played at the top of the show. He's finally got it right. As Trygve Olson from the Lincoln Project, who appears on this program on Wednesdays, has stated, as Trygve has literally fought Belarusians, has fought for freedom, is banned from Russia by Vladimir Putin himself. Putin must be stopped at Ukraine. Putin put this, he precipitated this attack. And we already know now from other reporting that Putin's intent is not to stop at Ukraine. Could be Poland next, who is a NATO ally. Could be Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania. And remember, as a member of NATO, an attack on one is an attack on all. So Speaker Johnson's absolutely right that if we don't stop Vladimir Putin at Ukraine, the reality is we will most likely be drug into hand-to-hand combat type of war with Russia and Europe. So I'm glad, for whatever the reason, I quite frankly, I don't care what the reason is. I'm happy that Speaker Johnson has gotten religion on this and is going to move forward. And I really do hope that Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic leader, and others have said, okay, how can we work together in a pragmatic way to just get the job done? just get the aid for Ukraine passed. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Mark from Prairie du Sac. Mark, thanks for calling. What say you?
Yeah, they got to get that aid passed. But for going back to Derek Van Orden, I'm just surprised that a parent of one of these kids that he's been picking on hasn't offered to teach Mr. Van Orden a lesson in some form or fashion. You can't offer violence to the man, but you could at least confront him in public and tell him what a cowardly piece of
yes.
droppings that he is. I mean, that unfortunately I have to remain FCC compliant here because I could have used a number of imaginative expletives to describe Mr. Van Orden that I had no problem, you know, calling him out in public, but I couldn't do it on FCC.
We appreciate that, Mark. Yeah.
Airwaves.
We appreciate
it. It's just sad that the man is that infantile, that he is unable to control himself, and that it needs to be called out in this election. I mean, people need to be made aware of just what an adolescent that he is. And maybe that's an insult even to adolescents, because most adolescents even know how to behave better than Mr. Van Orden.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Mark. And that's one of the points of bringing this story to our listeners, is that right now what Derek Van Orden is doing is he's coming back to Wisconsin and he's going around and taking selfies at Quick Trips with a golden retriever with literally an American flag behind him. And he's trying to pawn himself off as this friendly grandpa Navy veteran, that's just out to help Wisconsinites. And then he goes to Washington, D.C., and he's completely something different.
But he did something very horrible in that one library back here in the home district.
Yes.
Chewing on that one poor girl that was just working in the library. I mean, that the cowardice that demonstrates to me is just something that needs to be called out.
Yep.
And that if I saw him at the Quick Trail, he wouldn't be here because I'm not out in his district. But I saw him at this Quick Trail. He's lucky he's got a dog because at least he's got some friend.
Right. They spent it for a long time. If you want a friend in Washington, buy a dog. So apparently Derek Van Orden did. I'm not sure.
go ahead. And golden retrievers are something pretty nice. I've got a yellow lab right now, but I had to take care of a golden retriever for a while there a few years ago. And he was just a big old happy galoot, and that everybody loved him, and he loved everybody else. I lived right across the street from the school here, and boy, when he went over there and the girls were out, he was just all over them, and they were all over him, too, because he was a pretty boy. Derek Van Orden is just lucky he's got a dog, because at least, somebody is actually appreciating him, but it's just sad.
Yeah, it is. Mark, thank you so much for the call. Really appreciate it. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. We will continue to follow this throughout the day and also follow it into the weekend. And again, I do think it's important to report on what our congresspeople in Washington, D.C. are doing and their temperament, or in this case, the lack thereof. And also just the dysfunction of the Republican caucus. It almost, keyword almost, makes me feel a little sorry for Mike Johnson. Because if what he said last night, if that's truly what he means, if that's truly what his actions are going to reflect, then in this particular case, he truly is trying to do the right thing. And until I see otherwise, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. And if he is going to do the right thing, Mike Johnson, on Ukraine, I do hope that the Democratic leader, Hakeem Jeffries, and others will help him get there. There's nothing wrong, by the way, with pragmatism. Being pragmatic is not a dirty word. It simply means that you help each other. You might give up a little bit each other on the ground that you are trying to pass to get the majority of what you both want. And that's 9 times out of 10, something really good for the people of Wisconsin and really good for the people of America to be pragmatic.
And in the case of aid for Ukraine, really good for the people of the world.
It turns out, yes, and really good for the people of the world and really good for democracy as well. Other congressional news happening here in Wisconsin, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and happened about a half an hour ago, former Democratic Congressman Peter Barca has made his decision. He is running for the Southern and Southeastern Mother Wisconsin House seat currently held by Republican Representative Brian Stile. Barca told the Journal Sentinel that he'll formally launch his campaign for the first congressional district today, and as we said, it happened a few minutes ago. A move that is likely to re-energize Democrats' chances of competing for a seat that on paper is one of the state's closest battlegrounds. Quote, "We have a do-nothing, dysfunctional Congress, and people are hungry for leadership," Barca said. "I have a long record of bipartisanship working across the aisle and getting things done for our community. So now, as much as ever, I think we're at a critical point," unquote. The decision makes Barca, who represented the district in Congress from 93 to 95, the first big-name Democrat to enter the race against Stile, a Janesville Republican seeking his fourth term. Barca is likely to attract quick support from the National Democrats, who have listed the first district as a top target to flip as they seek to regain control of the House in November. What do you think about Peter Barca running for his old seat? More recently has been the Secretary of Revenue under Governor Evers. What do you think of Barca getting back in the race or back running for his old seat? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. I think it puts Brian Stile in a lot tougher position. Because if he doubles down on Trump and Trumpism, unlike his former boss and mentor Paul Ryan, who has rejected Trump and Trumpism now, if Brian Stile continues to embrace Trumpism and Trump, it makes Peter Barca look even more reasonable and attractive as a candidate to independents and disaffected Republicans. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Back with more on the other side. It's the Todd Allbowles Show for a Thursday on the Civic Media Radio Network. So you gotta let me know, should I stay or should I go? Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the All Ball Show on Civic Media. Mr. Zomer is on the board, taking your phone calls. He's always a friendly voice at the other end. So call in, talk to him, 855, and talk to us, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Glad to have you along, talking about Peter Barca, former Democratic congressman from the 1st District from 93 to 95. Announcing a few minutes ago that he intends to run for his old seat. A different configuration, of course, but going to run for it. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, House Democrats' main campaign arm, had been in touch with Barca about challenging Stile since last fall. Barca previously told the Journal Sentinel he initially pushed back on the idea, but said he changed his mind after witnessing the current inaction on Capitol Hill. In an interview, Barca listed the economy and workforce issues, healthcare access for women and seniors, and the U.S.-Mexico border as among the key issues he'd like to address in Congress. Barca noted the economy has been improving, but said people are still struggling to get ahead. He listed, quote, family-supporting jobs that unions helped argue for, unquote, and efforts to stop outsourcing work overseas as ways to address workforce challenges. And he noted his past support for Buy America initiatives. Barca also said Congress needs to take action on immigration at the southern border, a topic that will be central to Republican campaigns. He went on to say, quote, "Months after months go by, and you see we have a do-nothing, dysfunctional Congress on the key issues of our time. That's one of the things that changed my mind," unquote, when talking about considering to run or not. And we're seeing it today in the story we've been following. Republicans in Congress, the being led particularly by mega Republicans, particularly in the House, are dysfunctional. And they have a lot of trouble passing things. I mean, they have a lot of trouble just keeping a speaker, electing the speaker. And they seem to just be disconnected from you and I. Disconnected from common sense. And that's why the move today by Speaker Johnson, it's gutsy. I'll say it. I'll give him credit for it. Gutsy to put this Ukraine aid bill to a vote on the weekend, knowing it may well cost him his speakership, unless the Democrats decide to help him out. Of course, it could get very interesting very fast, right? Because once Mike Gallagher resigns on Friday, as he said he would, the Green Bay Republican, then all it takes is one remaining Republican to join all the Democrats, and Hakeem Jeffries would be speaker. That could get very interesting. Very quickly indeed. By the way, another Republican moments ago, not moments, but a half an hour ago, another Republican, this one, Jake LaTourneur, the 2nd District of Kansas, has now announced he will not seek re-election. Now, he, unlike Gallagher, he has not said at this point he's resigning. But another Republican, a near record amount, saying that he will not seek re-election. I mean, look, I don't have any direct knowledge of this, partly as things that I hear from a few Republicans that still talk to me off the record, or on background at least. And part of it's just a gut instinct. I still maintain that it is a realistic possibility that Hakeem Jeffries ends up being Speaker of the House before the end of this calendar year. Democrats may save Johnson this time. That makes sense. Don't play political games because it's more important to put partisan politics aside and get this Ukraine aid package passed. But I don't think this so-called Freedom Caucus and these megas are going to let up anytime soon. In fact, if this passes this weekend, Ukraine aid package with Democratic votes, it's only going to get worse for Mike Johnson in his caucus. So, you know, even if the Democrats help keep Johnson there in exchange for the Ukraine aid package, Johnson ain't out of the woods. And we see now with Jake LaTourneur from Kansas announcing he is not going to seek re-election. All it takes is for one more person to say they're going to resign like Mike Gallagher is doing on Friday. And the jig's up. So we shall see. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Coming up in hour number two, about a half an hour from now, a little bit over, our friend John Roach is going to stop by. Great author, great screenwriter, great writer, all around great guy, as it turns out. John Roach, going to be stopping to by. He actually has an O.J. Simpson story he's going to tell us, and also what's new up on the lake up north, and also what makes Wisconsin great in John Roach's eyes. So looking forward to that as well. Let's see here. All right, so and also want to tell you also about Brewers baseball going on.
Ooh.
The Brewers have the day off today, but back with the on the road St. Louis Cardinals tomorrow on Friday, April 19th. You can hear that game on WRCE in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine and Kenosha, Oshkosh Air Support up in Oshkosh, and 98Q Country WCQM in beautiful Park Falls. So the Brewers have a 3-game series over the weekend with the Cardinals down there. They're off to a fantastic start. And looking forward to hearing more of the Brewers game this weekend. Tomorrow, we're going to be up in Richland Center at WRCE doing the show. Our friend Brady Ewing's going to stop by. And also, Phil Nee is on the program tomorrow. Tomorrow, National Record Store Day.
So, I always forget when that is.
Yeah.
So glad that I have you to remind me.
Phil's going to be talking. He has an extensive vinyl collection. And so all that's coming up tomorrow. And also Tim Grierson, Los Angeles film critic. Tim Grierson is going to be on the show tomorrow, back on the show, talking about this new film called Civil War. So all that, big show from the RC tomorrow. Hope you join us. Hope you join us for hour two. Come on back now. Time now for the news, weather, and then more of the Town Hall Ball Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.